Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another evening of the Power of Forgiveness. I would like to thank everyone for joining in this evening. And hope that we will have an enjoyable evening today. I'm trying to see what the delay is here one moment, please. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure what's going on here. We seem to have a bad connection again this week, and this is really getting to be annoying. If there's anyone there that's trying to call in, give me a call, please, to see if you are connected. They're telling me that they're waiting on the host, and I have dialed in. So, Jesus, help me, Lord. I am receiving on this end, it says that they're waiting on the host, on the, and it appears that we're not on the air yet from here, but I believe that you guys can hear me, but their numbers are not coming in. And I must really apologize for this again. Trying to see if I can figure this out. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining in this evening. And we just had some technical problems, and they seem to be all solved at this time. So if anyone out there is trying to call in or tune in, join in now. And we're about 25 minutes late, but at any rate, we're still on the air and broadcasting at this moment. So I want to take this moment out to thank you for joining in. And hopefully that everything will just work out just fine from this point on. I want to bring in our spiritual advisor, Pastor Reverend Tucker. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. We didn't have any problem with the internet. The internet service that went out here and something that just came back on or whatever. But anyway, that's the modern technology for today's society. You know, we have to go with the flow.
Yes.
I certainly want to thank you, sir, for your tenacity and your concern about, you know, this show going on and people being aware that that we are here. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, very good. Hold on 1 second, sir. Let me get this background noise out of the way. One moment.
Are you there, Brother Cooper?
Yes, sir. Just one moment, sir.
Okay. All right.
Okay, sir. I'm back. Had a lot of background noise. I had to straighten up. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes,
Pastor
yes.
Tucker, can
I
you?
Can hear. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, man, what a day, what a day, what a day. Everything is everything. I want to, I don't know who is on the, internet listening, but so far on the line, I only see your number. So, but anyone else, if they call in at this one, they can get in. But
okay,
and we just had someone else to join us, and I'm trying to see who this is.
Maybe one of my church members.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They've been trying to reach for the past couple weeks, and so I just texted them and told them that we're back on.
Okay. And that last 4 digits of that number is 3882. Can you hear us? 216. Last 4 digits is 3882. Are you there?
I think he's probably just listening. That's the number.
That's the number. Okay, cool.
Right.
Very good. Okay, Pastor. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and open up a little prayer, and then we get right into it because you know, the devil is a liar, man. He's just a habitual liar. Every week or so, he always trying to have his way on this radio show. And so for it to come up talking about the internet service is down. That's crazy.
Let's press on and make him eat his own words.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Oh, precious Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, my God, we come to you in prayer right now, and we ask you to look down upon us right now, Lord Jesus, and touch us, touch everyone that's listening out there in the radio and internet world, that with this program this evening would be very, very fruitful for them to be able to get something from this. And we're thanking you for our guest who is on the line with us now, and excuse me, and for his willingness to call back in to join us on today. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity right now to introduce you to someone else just came on just a moment, please. And the last four digits is 90. The area code is 248. The last four digits is 9097. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us here. And we were just in a little prayer. A person who usually prays for the opening program, she's not on yet. We had some difficulties at the beginning of the program, but I was saying a little prayer, and I was thanking God for the opportunity to come on and present this show to you all this evening. And we have a very powerful message that we're going to be speaking about. Thank you, Lord, and for everybody that's on the call. Okay, I want to speak on what we are going to be talking about this evening. I'm trying to get my my composure together because here we are 30 minutes late getting started. And this is something that is very uncomfortable, and this long is unusual. But here we are, and we're talking about the power of forgiveness, healing the hurt. Forgiveness, appreciate those who love you. Forgive those who hurt you. Be sure you say, I forgive, and don't hold on to hate. When you choose to hold on to hate in your heart, we not only limit ourselves by not allowing ourselves to see the full picture of the past to be able to learn from it. We just are not able to see the full picture. And excuse me. I was trying to see what I called it drop, and but that's okay. We our hearts are not only limiting ourselves by not allowing ourselves to see the full picture of the past, to be able to learn from it, but we also limit our future, as we won't be able to see clearly enough each day to be the success that we are truly distinct to be. If we hold hatred in our heart, we won't be able to grow spiritually. There's a family member who show love every day, but hate you for something that happened years ago And you have no idea that they feel that way. They do truly love you, but haven't forgiven you. Because that hate is eating at them every day. This is not only family. This can be in a marriage, a relationship, or a best friend. Get hate out of your heart and keep it out by replacing it with love. Just think of Jesus and what he has done for you. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to and not despise the other. Not serve God and mammon.
That's true.
A lot of people out there on a daily basis, they just strive for money, and God is not no place in their talks. They just think about money all day. But scripture is totally against that. Psalms 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Let's rejoice and be happy. For we are chosen by God. I'm talking about everyone out there who's listening. We are chosen by God. No one is better than you. You are no better than anyone else. We are all equal with different talents and abilities given to us by God to help make this world as good as possible. John 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Let's truly forgive and heal the hurt. That was something I was stammering through this and reading it because I hadn't gotten myself together. Well, that's okay. I made it through. And the point is, get hatred out of your heart. Stop hating and love because God has chosen us for that. Pastor Tucker, I don't know if you could grasp what I was saying because my words were stammering and stuttering and all sort of stuff going on there, but I believe you being the man of God that you are, you can speak on this subject of hatred to our listening audience and give them something to go on. I don't know what that was, but are you there, Pastor?
Yes, I am there. I am here, and okay. I did hear what you were saying, and I did hear your opening comments. I believe that, you see, there were three things that stood out to me when you announced the program of the power of forgiveness, healing the hurt.
Healing the hurt.
And you said, appreciate those who love you. And
right.
Forgive those who hurt you.
Right, absolutely.
And you said that we should not hold on to hatred. I think that
right.
Before something goes to a level of hatred, it has to first come to a level of pain. And I think that to a large degree, it's not so much hatred that holds us back from loving, but it's pain and fear of experiencing more pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even when people, you said that sometimes a family member will show love and hold
mm-hmm.
on to hatred, but I think more often it's holding on to hurt. And I think that pain of disappointment, that pain of having been misunderstood, criticized, judged, let down, or disappointed, those pains sometimes last a very long time until there can be that place of forgiveness. And oftentimes forgiveness is given lip service to, you know, I've talked to people who have said over and over, well, I forgave them, only to find out after so many times of saying they forgave that the forgiveness really was not there. Only to find out that something in their heart that they were holding on to because it hurt too bad to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or because in order to look at it, they had to also see something that they had done, or they had to see their part in the pain. And I think that even before we love, before we forgive, we have to see ourselves. And I think the hardest person in the world to see, just like the hardest person in the world to control, and maybe the hardest person in the world to forgive, is ourselves. Because if you can receive the forgiveness of God, truly receive it, that means you have to forgive yourself. And if there's not forgiveness in you that you've received, how can you forgive another if you don't even understand at a very deep level what it feels like, what it means, what happens when you're forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that sometimes that's the greater experience. When you know that you deserved worse and somebody had mercy on you, sometimes there's a shame there, even though you've been spared. But to really be able to turn around and show mercy, to show forgiveness, it means that you have to receive forgiveness on the inside. You have to accept it. And that means you have to feel forgiven yourself. The Apostle Paul could not have given such powerful words on love and the love of Christ and the power of keeping good thoughts in our head and being led by and baptized with the Holy Spirit if he had not himself first been purged of that guilt, that shame. And so we find him saying, in many instances, he talks about that revelation that occurred to him. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me, so I know that in me there is no good thing, but I thank God that Jesus has covered that for me. He's revealed to me my sin, and he's covered my sin, and he's not only given me forgiveness for my sin, but he's given me righteousness. And that's why the scripture says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what he put on to take over the shame. So when we've been forgiven, that means that the hurt, the hatred, all of that, now we have to release in order to receive the forgiveness.
Amen.
It's like I remember hearing a story about how they caught monkeys and they would put peanuts or bananas or something in a bottle. And when he'd go in to get the put his hand down in the bottle, he would have to he couldn't get his hand out of the bottle, so they had him trapped. And the only way that he could get his hand out of the bottle was to release what was in his hand. Then he could slide his hand out. But because he refused to release it, he remained trapped. And I think it's the same thing with us, that many times we have received the forgiveness and we've been set free, but we are not free because we refuse to release the pain. Somebody hurt us when we were a child. Someone molested someone. A woman was raped. A man was raped. Someone was beat severely. And if we can't let that go, release that to the point where our hand comes out freely and now there's new life and there's freedom and there's room to grow and run and be free and to enjoy the abundant life that Christ gave us, we're going to keep our hand in that bottle and it's going to keep us trapped so that we're not able to forgive others, set others free. And so just like we have been judged, we will judge other people. Just like we have been hurt, we will hurt other people. There's a saying goes that says hurt people hurt people. And if you look at most of the situations with where there's any kind of abuse, they say that most of the time you look at the pattern. Abusive parents have been abused. People who judge a lot have been judged. So whatever it is that somebody is perpetrating on someone else, oftentimes it's the same thing that has been done to them. So I think that that's where I would begin. And then once you receive the love, and you can't receive forgiveness and love without crying out, without breaking down. And David was a very good example of that. When David discovered his wrongness before God, some people would say, well, David knew he was doing wrong when he had Uriah killed and he took Uriah's wife and he knew he was committing adultery and he knew he was committing murder to kill a man. And it was a terrible crime. But it was not until David heard Nathan tell the story that his heart was pricked in a whole different way. And when his heart was pricked in that way, it was an awakening in him. And I would venture to say, Brother Cooper, that most of us, or many of us, have not had our hearts pricked to that deep level.
Wow.
I would venture to say that many in the body of Christ have accepted Christ on a head level and maybe even desire to accept him in their heart. But their hand is still stuck in that bottle because they can't let go of the hurt. They can't let go of the pain. And they can't let go of the judgment. And anytime you're hurt, anytime you're in pain, anytime you're judging others, it means that, in a sense, you have not been able to receive the forgiveness of God for yourself.
Amen.
Because when you've been truly forgiven, you want to see everybody free. And that's why Jesus told us, forgive. And if we forgive not our brother, neither can God forgive us. And it's that, and when I say God can't forgive us, it's because the forgiveness is available, but our hand is still trapped in that bottle. He can't make you let it go. You have to release it. And when you let go of what's in your hand will slide out of that bottle, and you'll run off and be free. And then, then you'll... say like I think it was one of the old time singers here, I'll never make that mistake again. I won't get caught in that trap again. And so that's why David, when he was a man after God's own heart, every time David made a mistake, he was quick to run to God and ask him to forgive him now, because he knew what it felt like to be bound by not being able to forgive, by not being able to love, all of that. Even when one man came along and was throwing rocks at him, he told his servant, said, should I go over and kill him? He said, no. He said, that's not that. He's doing what he's supposed to do. I know there's something wrong with me, David said. I know I've done something wrong. He said, I'm not trying to take his head off of that. And I think that that's where we have to really examine ourselves. So I've gone on too long, but that's where I feel that.
That is awesome how you're putting it, because it's basically just about everything within this little dialogue that I'm thinking that what I was saying. It wasn't making no sense, but you put it right in the proper perspective is what I was trying to say. You know, by giving the demonstration of the monkey with his hand in the bottle and he won't let go. You know, that's like the person who was holding this grudge in his heart for all them years. And but talking love every day. But that hatred was still there. That feeling was still there. The hurt that you were talking about, all of that was still in him. And you find that in relationships, like if you can be a friend, a best friend. You know, I've heard a woman say that she and this lady were friends for years, but this lady did something to win over her in some type of contest or something that they was having. And you know, I keep on hearing the sound on my end of the phone. It's sounding really, really strange. And that's why I started laughing and stuff, you know, because it seemed like it's something trying to keep me from talking tonight. And that's very strange, yeah, that sound that I'm hearing. I don't know if anyone else heard it or not, but it's a strange sound. And it sounds like a human voice that's saying something. But anyway, yes, our guest that we have on the phone here this evening, I heard you a moment there. You was kind of like quoting scripture and praising God. So I would like for you to introduce yourself, if you don't mind. Because I'm so glad that you are on the call, and I'd like to know who you are. Our guest this evening, can you hear me? Okay. This is still not ready to say anything, but that's okay. Thank you so much again for joining. And I'm going to go on and continue with this. I was saying, get hate out of your heart and keep it out. Replacing it with love.
Yes.
Replacing it with love. Just think of Jesus. What he has done for you. You know,
yes.
I remember when I was a kid and I was telling some people about this the other day, how God delivered me when I was a kid, when he twice now in my life, he has snatched me away from death. When I was a kid, he did it. And also, 2013, he did it. What I think, what I was thinking about when I was a kid, how in the South we used to walk in a creek. And the water was up knee-deep in the creek. And then all of a sudden there was a hole, a hollow hole that you step in, and it was just large enough for your body to fit in, and you start sinking. And you step in it, and we gave it a name. We called it the snake hole. But you step off in that hole, and your body started sinking down and going down. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get this feeling that you're going to die. You get the feeling that it's just flirting with death. And then all of a sudden, something brings you back up to the top. Now, if gravity is taking you down in a hole, because there's no rocks or anything to climb up, it's amazing how God, when he wants you to, when he wants to preserve you.
Oh, yes.
When he wants to preserve you, he will do it. And then he will give you the wisdom as to why he's doing it. And I think that today, the reason why I was preserved back then was for this day today. And then in 2013, when I died, I thought I died because I felt like I didn't have no more breath in my body. But I saw Jesus. Jesus came and revived me. Now, here we are today on this call, and we're talking about love and hate. And we know that Jesus don't like anything to do with hatred. But he's all about love. And he wants us to be able to see. He has chosen us so that we would be able to live our lives to the fullest. And be an example for those out there in the world. I'm going to kind of all a little bit off the subject now because I'm feeling something totally different than what the program is usually about. I'm feeling so full of testimony and the goodness of God. There is some things happening in my life now that is so painful. It is so painful, but yet God is maintaining and giving me joy. You all understand? Mm-hmm. He's maintained and giving me joy through all this thing. What's going on right now on this phone, on this call right now, is designed by God. Whoever's listening, who's on the call, this is exactly who God wanted to be here at this time. Because it's time for me, Joe Cooper, to realize that I have no control over my life. I have friends who, we're talking about people who have the love of money. The world hates. The world hated Jesus before he hated me, before the world hated me, or before people hated me. So I don't care nothing about what people think of me as far as that goes. And that love of money, you can't serve two gods. There's no way that you're going to put money over God and be able to live in this world and be happy. We are placed here to be an example for those. I was taken back to when my kids were little boys. And right now, when I think about them now, they're grown men. I think about how God spared us all to become what we are today. I have a son who's going through some serious changes, and I want the world to pray for him. I'm talking about his illness. I lost a grandson back in August, and that was my son's oldest son. And since then, my son hasn't been the same. There is something going on with him, and I think what it is God is trying to get his undivided attention. But at the same time, he wants him to recognize his health and why he's here on this earth. I don't mean to just be going off and babbling, but this is just the way this show has been today. It's just babbling. And it's feelings that I'm expressing, and I'm going all over the place with it. The feelings that I'm expressing about myself. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I know this. There's something very strange happening in the world right now. Mankind is about to face something that they never faced before. And that is destruction. That is starvation. Homelessness. There are people who are after this, going through this, but I'm saying the world is going to face it. They're having recalls on all kind of meats, all kind of commodities in the stores because it's contaminated. You got so many people who are dying. Death is everywhere. But we need to pray and we need to get on God's side and stay there. Pastor Tucker, sometimes you say, you didn't mean to talk that much or you didn't mean to carry on that much. And neither do I at this moment. But I just don't know what's going on right now. This is, yes, sir.
I think that one of the things that I heard a couple of things that you said, you know, that somehow it seems as though we got here to this place because of God, whether it's the God's grace that carried us or that his mercy has kept and that we need to pray. I think there is something else that we need to do, and I think that it's right in line with what's going on in the world. I think we need to see ourselves. And I think that's where I see the greatest alignment with Scripture is that we need to see ourselves before we can truly be empowered by God. If you look at, for example, if you look at all of the disciples, except one, none of them were at the cross with Jesus that we have recorded except John. Peter betrayed him, and Peter was one of the most faithful ones that, you know, he's the one that identified him as the Christ. We talk so much about Satan that I think Satan has more credit and more airtime than God does oftentimes. We talk so much about what the devil is doing that we forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that the sun comes up every day, that just as much as there are floods and earthquakes and tsunamis, there is green grass and flowers and food growing, so that the majority, there are a lot of people starving on the earth, but there is food in the land. And there is so much going on that is good that sometimes we forget to see that. And I think we forget to see it because we haven't seen ourselves clearly. So when Peter told Jesus that he was going to fight, and he really believed that. Just like I think that many times I have, and I believe all Christians say, talk about the goodness of God and believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus is alive, that he's coming again. But we're looking at 2,000 years ago when he died and he rose. And then we're looking at a time when we don't know about whether he's coming again. I mean, when he's coming again, we believe that he is coming again. But we fail to see the place where he's here now. If Jesus said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you even until the end of the ages. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We talk about troubles past and deliverance in the future, but we fail to see that he's here right now. And in order for us to see him here right now, it means that we have to see ourselves a little clearer. It's easy for me to judge my brother and say that, you know, if my brother was doing this, or my neighbor was doing this, or if they only did this, it's easy to do that. The hardest person to see, and I keep pulling this back to me, the hardest person to see is me. But when I see me, then, and only then, I believe can I see Jesus. And when I am fully persuaded that Jesus is not some distant millennia out in space somewhere, you know, miles and light years away, on his way here, or that he died and left us, but that he's the present help right now, that totally throws my picture off. Because that means when I'm talking about you, when I'm judging somebody else, when I'm sinning, even when I'm praising, it means he's here now. And my praise will change. My actions will change. My speech will change if I believe that he's here right now. I think it was Job's mistake to think that God wasn't already listening. Job was an upright man, and he did right. And when Satan tempted him to curse God, he didn't. He didn't curse God. But when his friends got on him, he judged God. And in our attempt to find explanations for why, we oftentimes judge God rather than trust God. We oftentimes vindicate ourselves in our hiding. I would do this, but it's not safe out there. I would tell her this, but I'll get angry and I may hurt her feelings. I would do this, but I want my children to like me. I would say this, but it might hurt somebody's feelings. And while those are good considerations, they have to be balanced by the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God gets into both sides of that picture, that means that you have to get out of the way. When you get out of the way, it's like Peter and John. Now, the same Peter that denied Jesus, Jesus told him before he left him, he said, Peter, I want you to know that Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He's coming after you. He said, but I have prayed for you. And I prayed for you that when you are converted, he didn't say if, he said when you are converted, strengthen your brother. And I think so much of our emphasis in life is being so self-centered that we don't know how to strengthen our brother. We don't know how to give. We talk about the wealthy and the love of money, but the love of money is more there when you don't have it than it is when you have it. Or at least it's strong.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Because now your whole pursuit is to get money because you think you need it to survive.
Amen. That's true. Mm-hmm.
So when you're trusting in money because it's your survival mechanism and not God, or you're trusting in money because you have it and you want to stay safe and you want to stay ahead of the game and you want to be ahead of everybody else, that's not God either.
Mm-mm.
So the trust of God has to release it on either side, whether you're poor or rich. The woman that Jesus talked about when he was watching them put in money at the temple, he said, this woman, out of her penury, out of her brokenness, out of her poverty, gave more than the rest of them. But it wasn't the fact that she gave more out of her poverty. It was the reason why she gave it. Because if you trust God, it's like the woman that the prophet, when he went to her and he told her, she said, well, all I have is this one cruse of oil and this one little bit of flour, and I'm going to eat this. Me and my son are going to eat this and die. And the prophet said, well, first, before you die, before you do all of that, make me something to eat. Now, her trusting the prophet, her trusting God, was the vehicle through which she was able to have enough to buy, to keep going for a long time. And the same with the one that had the cruse of oil, where she didn't have much and he told her to go and borrow. So I'm saying that to say this. I feel that the greatest problem in our society is not what we see outside, it's what's going on inside. And I believe that's the problem in the church as well as in the world, or what we call the church.
Hallelujah.
So again, I say to the challenge for us and the challenge that I see and the challenge I would give to the listening audience is, I keep coming back to this sometimes. They used to say, when you point your finger at someone, three of them are pointing back at you. The scripture says, before you try to get the mote out of your brother's eye, look at the beam in your own and get that out first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that we are not at a place yet as a world where we can see the beam in our eye. But I believe that the reason why tribulation and troubles and trials come in our lives is so that we can see the beam in our eye. You would perhaps never seen Jesus come to you if you hadn't been at a place where trouble and tribulation and death had almost taken you.
Amen.
In both places.
Amen. You're right.
In the lake or in the hospital.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's the way we come to a place where we start to see ourselves in the light of God. But if we keep ourselves in that place every day, as much as we can, keep going back to that place. Keep going back to that place. I can't do this without you, God. I can't survive without you. I can't do what you want me to do without you. I can't see myself because this mirror that I have will only show me my natural face. But if you'll show me a mirror that will show me my spiritual face, then I'll understand why the disciples said to Jesus when they were trying to cast out a demon out of a man's son, and the man was crying that they couldn't do it. And they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, why is it that we couldn't cast him out? When we look at that mirror and ask God to show us that spiritual mirror, Lord, why is it that we don't have power to do this? Why is it that we don't have power to get well? Why is it that we can't heal the sick? Why is it that we're not setting people free? Why is it that we're not seeing people born again day after day and day after day? Why is it that we're weak when you said that you would make us strong? Why is it that we're not living an abundant life? There is something in the camp. And oftentimes we put it on the devil. But when Joshua went out to fight the battle, the first time they went out after they went into the promised land, they were going to the promised land, they won the battle, hands down. God gave them instructions to go out. When they came back and they went back to fight again, they lost before their enemies. And Joshua went down to crying out to the Lord. He said, Lord, what is this? We've lost. God told me, he said, Joshua, get up. He said, I want you to go. He said, there's sin in the camp. I want you to go find out what's wrong and then deal with the sin, and then your strength will come back. That's that place that I keep saying about how many times do we judge somebody else because they don't read the Bible like I read it, because they haven't been through enough life to see that partying and dancing and drinking, smoking and all that is not the way. And all of a sudden, in my old age, I get there, or in my middle age, I get there. Now I think I have an answer for them when the real judgment is still lying with me. Because when Jesus set that man free from those legions, and it said the whole town, they came out to see him, they asked Jesus, no, you got to get out of here, man. A whole herd of swine went over the field. They were afraid of that kind of power. And they said, Jesus, please leave our town. And Jesus left. And as he was leaving, the man came out to him that was possessed of all those demons. And he said, Lord, let me go with you. He said, no. He said, you go back and tell your friends and everybody around you, show them what the Lord has done for you. To show somebody what the Lord does for you is the testimony. To sell somebody what the Lord can do for them if they'll just do this and just do that, that's the judgment. When they see your testimony, they knew that that man had been possessed of demons, cutting himself with rocks, and nobody could tame him. They chained him, and he would snap the chains like they were rubber bands. They had already seen him in that light. Now they see this man sitting in the marketplace, clothed and in his right mind. That automatically changes things. And the woman was talking to Jesus at the well, and he said, well, talk to her about the water. And if you knew who it was that were talking to you, you would ask of me water, and I'd give you living water that you'd never thirst again. She said, give me this water. He said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're answered correctly because you've had five, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. And she said, I kind of perceive that you must be a prophet. And so he began to tell her about that living water, that he was the one that they had been looking for. She went back to town. And she did not tell people, oh, you got to do right. This man will tell you what you've done wrong. She said, come meet a man that told me, put the mirror to my face so I could see my spiritual self. Is this not the Christ? I believe that this is the problem, Brother Cooper. I believe we're not letting our testimony become our testimony to the goodness and the power of God. but it's become more of a complaint testimony and a more of a flagging what the devil is doing testimony. But when she came back and all the men came out of town, they said to her, and they watched Jesus, they said to her, oh, now we don't need to take your word for it. We saw him for ourselves. So I think it's the testimony of God's goodness and power for us. When they see that, I don't care if they're your family, if they're your son, if they're your daughter, if they're your neighbor, if they see the light of God shining in you, you don't have to tell them to see the light of God. If they see the word of God operating in you, the forgiveness, the peace, the compassion, you don't have to tell them to read the Bible. They already read it.
True.
They now, if they ask you, how did you come to this place? Oh, I met a man. When I read the word, he said, when I looked at the wicked, he said, I was envious of them. And I saw them prospering and doing wrong. He said, but when I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, I could see a little clearer. I understood their plight and I understood mine. So I think it's that place of that spiritual mirror. Lord, help me to see me. Because if you blot out my transgressions, David said, if you create in me a clean heart, if you renew a right spirit in me, if you purge me with hyssop, then there's no doubt in my mind that sinners will be born unto you because they will see what you've done for me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Ah, faith. It's wrong. It is, I don't feel that I'm giving Satan credit by speaking of what I feel that he's doing to me, because I see it's not me. It's not me that's going through it. It's people that I know, other people. Now, I show up just to walk with Christ every day. I leave my light shining all the time. But other people going through what they're going through, and it's causing me to feel bad. Now, as my spiritual advisor, and to those listening out there in the radio world today, in the internet world, those who have concern for others, their loved ones, or people in general, what must they do to overcome that feeling that they're having, that Satan is destroying them? I mean, you look at your loved one, and you see them being destroyed by the different vices and different things of the world, and then you see people in general going to and fro, doing things, and just. It's all concerned to God. Me, what should I do?
I think that's an excellent question, Brother Cooper. I think that's a very powerful question because, in a sense, is the question of what should the body of Christ do and be doing. You know,
okay.
Jesus sat over Jerusalem and he wept. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you as a hen doth her brood, and you would not?" He went to one city to do some miracles, and he couldn't do any miracles there because the people had no faith. But every time he paused for that, those are merely pauses in his ministry of everything that we have recorded. They're not places where he stopped. It was a pause. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Master, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He asked him, "What does the law say?" He quoted back the law, the first and the second commandment. Jesus said, "This do and you shall live." And so the man said, "I've done all of this all my life, my youth up." He said, "Then one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor." And the man turned and he was sorrowful because he couldn't do that. He couldn't let go of what was in the bottle. And so Jesus, it said that Jesus loved the man. He had compassion on him, but he let him go.
Okay.
Jesus didn't save everybody. What makes us think that we can save everybody?
Yes, that's true.
And when we were going down the same road that our kids are going down, then God had to do something to get us. So we have to trust God. Once we pray for them and put them in God's hands, we keep messing up the process when we keep trying to correct them and straighten them out as adults. So if we let them go into God's hands, now God can work with them. But if we keep our hands in God's way, God is not going to work with them. He's still going to work on us. Now he's got to work on both of us, them and us. This was the problem of the disciples. So when when Jesus left, they went back to fishing. They said, "We can't handle this." So when Jesus came and got them at the seashore, he asked Peter. He said, "Peter, now do you really love me? You made up all that big talk how much you love me. And I know you deny me three times. Like I told you before the cock crowed twice, you were going to deny me three times." And Peter, in his shame, didn't even want to see Jesus. He was hiding. But when Jesus came and released him of that guilt and that burden, he told him, he said, "I didn't ask you to save my sheep. I asked you to feed my sheep." And what we're trying to do is save the sheep. That's not our job. It's our job to feed them. It's our job to let our light shine. It's our job to give. And sometimes I think we're in God's way. And we become the devil in God's way. If he's trying to save somebody and we're standing in the way judging them or trying to correct them, now God has got to stop and correct us, correct them, correct us, correct them, and God's not going to play that game. He's just going to let you have it. Okay, you want them saved? Go ahead and save them. If you can do that.
When you can do it.
And when you get tired of trying to save them and trying to save yourself, then humble yourself and watch me work. And Brother Cooper, I think that's my answer. That's the place where we are now. We've got to humble ourselves and get out of God's way, so that we can get in God's way as instruments to be used as lights. Because once the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, you don't see Peter with a sword in his hand anymore. That very day, Peter and John were going into the temple and into the synagogue, and they saw a man laying, begging alms. And they said, Peter looked at him, he said, "Fasten your eyes on us." And they fastened their eyes on him. He said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we'll give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise, take up your bed and walk." And they reached down, got his hands, his legs got stronger. Now the question for us looking in the mirror is not why isn't Jesus here doing that today, or what happened that the church lost that power. Show me myself in the mirror, Lord. What's blocking me from that power operating in me? Is it that I'm trying to do it in my own power? Is it that I'm trying to take the credit for it? Is it that I want to receive a certain amount of glory as being seen as someone who is faithful to your word? Jesus told his disciples, if you want to be great, become the least, serve, give. You know, a lot of men will not serve their wives. I watch the people of my generation, my father's generation, the husbands had to be served by the wives, and the husbands would never serve the wives. Husbands wouldn't serve the children. Men wouldn't apologize to men. Men wouldn't show their tears or their weakness.
Right,
Jesus
did
all of those things. He served, and he was a powerful man, because when he came on the scene, even the demons started to cry out, Jesus, what do we have to do with you? He said, shut up. Hush. Don't tell folks who I am. And he silenced them and then cast them out. That's a man of great power. But it was also a man of great humility, because he always, in everything he did, it was God operating in him. And Brother Cooper, I have to say
yes.
I think we have made God a weak God in the eyes of the world, because we have not proven God in our own eyes. And we haven't proven God because we haven't humbled ourselves to the extent where we can see what's blocking us. Lord, open our eyes to ourselves, not our neighbors, because we can easily see their sins. We can easily see their shortcomings. I was married twice, and it was so easy for me at some point after a divorce of long years of marriage to see the fault of my wives. But it took a real humbling, a real knocking down, a real breaking for me to see my own fault and to see my fault that was repeated when I thought I was right. And the problem with us is that we often think that we're right, and sometimes we're wrong.
Yes, Lord, yes. You know, sometimes sometimes I go back and I relate to Scripture. And there's a Scripture where it says, we're living in times now, I'm paraphrasing, where we must save ourselves. You know, you have to save yourself. You can't save anyone else. And that's what he was just saying.
You really can't save yourself.
Well,
salvation has to come through Christ Jesus. The way I know what the scripture you're referring to, where Paul says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You can save yourself from a lot of trouble, but salvation itself, eternal salvation, comes from Christ. But we save ourselves from a lot of trouble when we don't listen to the ungodly man and take counsel with his ways, when we're not trying to keep step with the world, when we're not conformed to the things of this world. We save ourselves a lot of trouble. I went through a lot of trouble trying to conform, trying to justify myself, trying to be right.
Yes, sir.
Better to be wrong than it is to be self-righteous.
Yeah. Absolutely. Self-righteous. My Lord. You know, one other thing, and that'll be enough about me for tonight, and that is, I notice in my life now, I've always been, throughout my walk with Christ, he has always shown me a sign. He's always given me a sign, whether it be through a vision, a dream, but he's always given me signs to let me know who he is. But here lately, he's given me signs, but I'm not able to understand what it is, the meaning. I am being taken to places in my spirit where it is so damnation, and so cruel, where the people that are there, everyone is lost. And it's always chaos. And I'll be amongst that. But then when I wake up, this comes through dreams. And I've never dreamed like that before. But when I wake up, and this is not just one time, several times I've had this dream and visited those areas. It's not always the same place, but those type of areas. When I wake up, I cannot explain what happened. Sir, like I said, I know I'm talking to a man of God, and I'm talking on an open, worldwide network so people can hear what's being said, because I'm going to have to make a move and step out really into the world and be what thus said the Lord, what he's calling me to be, what he has saved me to be. When I was on my deathbed, he told me to get up and go and promote the power of forgiveness. Oh, I'm sorry. He said, get up and go and promote like you never promoted before and promote the power of forgiveness. And eliminate all people in your life who mean you no good. Those were his direct orders for me to do. Prior to that,
can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On the second part of that, I know you probably had to leave some people behind when you went to Florida. But have you promoted like you've never promoted before?
No, but I'm about to.
Oh, okay.
No, I have. And that's why I said that I'm going to have to step out and do like. Now, what I've done is I've gotten myself in a position now to promote like I've never promoted before. And that's forgiveness. And he told me to promote the power of forgiveness. And that's exactly what I'm going to do now. I'm in a position to do it. And it started January the 1st. I have the organization registered. And I'm ready to do what he told me to do. But I'm just letting the people know and letting you know and the folks out there in the listening audience, let them know that Joe Cooper is I've been called by God to do his will, and I'm about to do it. And for him to show me, to take me in these places where, in my dream, where I've never been before, and there's chaos everywhere that I go. And one real strange thing about it, Pastor, is that my oldest brother, who is deceased and been deceased now for years, he is always there. I don't know. I talk about death, right? I talk about death, and And this is something that I'm going to be talking about a lot, death. Because it's real. And people don't want to talk about it.
Let me flip that on you again, Brother Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep talking about death, who's going to preach life? If we keep talking about the chaos, who's going to bring the order? And I'm saying this because I think if you can imagine Germany prior to World War II, there were some great theologians in Germany. There were some great churches there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Germany happened in other parts of the world. You might say Uganda, when Idi Amin was there, the Hutus and the Tutsis that recently in Rwanda, the other places in the world where that's coming to pass. But what it was, I believe, is that we had people living in what Jesus called a lukewarm condition. And so when the crisis really came down, very few people stood up to speak for right, because now the threat to life was even greater. And so I think that what we're having now is a question of who is going to be able to take the stand for light and life. Because everybody was doomed.
Amen.
And prognosticators in the time of trouble. I mean, everybody can tell you now, oh, okay, well, these are the last days. Just the stock market falling and rising and all this is a sign. The fact that we're doing this is a sign. The fact that there's so much hatred is a sign. And Jesus said, woe be unto those who seek a sign. He said, what did I tell you to do? He said, I told you, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not that, and I believe that the heart is right. I understand that, but it does not say let everybody know how bad it is so they can see how strong the devil is. No, he said, let your light so shine. He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives. He said, I came that they might have life and life more abundantly. So if you have the abundant life that I'm giving you, said Jesus, then you got to let people see that this is life, and you have to share life. You have to give life. And that was the whole power of the gospel going forward. Those people who took that light, like Stephen in the book of Acts, I believe it's the 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen was preaching that word with such power and light that those who did not want to hear it, even though they knew the word of God, they stoned him to death. But even while he was being stoned, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And because he was declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and shining that light even while he was dying, the very man that was holding the coats and had the papers to stone Christians also was converted because of what that light that he saw in Stephen. And so I'm hoping and praying that as we continue to seek this light that Jesus is talking about, we'll stay off the dark side and get on the light side and let our light shine so that they can see that there is power in setting people free, power in telling people, I know that you've done wrong, I know that this is hard, but I want to say God got me out of a tough situation. This is my testimony. And then when you begin to tell your testimony of God's goodness, not of what Satan did, but of God's goodness, that's the testimony that Revelation chapter 12 talked about when he talked about how they kicked Satan out of heaven. He said that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony, you can walk through the Gospels and you'll see the word of their testimony. One man said he was blind, and they came and said, well, how did you receive your sight? He said, well, this man touched me. He did this. He said, well, don't give this man any credit. Give God. He said, well, look, I don't know whether he's a sinner or no. He said, but one thing I know, I was blind. Now I see. Another testimony. I had
blood flowing from my body for 18 years, and I knew that if I could just get to something said to me, if I could just get to pressing to touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole,
mm-hmm.
and I was made
Amen.
Whole.
Amen.
Another
Amen.
Woman said, well, mm-hmm. I have this alabaster box of oil, and she said, it's some precious oil, but something keeps telling me to go sit at the feet of Jesus and wash his feet, soak his feet in this oil. And she said, when he got there, now the other people were judging her. This oil could have been sold and paid, used to buy something for the poor. Jesus said, wherever this gospel, which is not bad news, gospel means good news, wherever this good news is declared all over the world, this will be told about this woman. So when you look at all of the testimonies, the only dark side testimony that we have is from of those who followed Jesus was Judas, and that was a dark side. So that's why I keep reiterating this, Brother Cooper, and I will tell it because I've been on the dark side. I have been in that
Amen.
Place where it looked like there's no way out. I've been in that place where I lost my mind, and I will not tell anyone that even though it looks like all of the statistics are saying that so many people are depressed and taking medications today, I still want to tell them my testimony. Yes, I was taking medication. Yes, I lost my mind, but I met a man named Jesus.
Amen.
And when I began to talk to Jesus and he showed me
yes.
ways in the natural that I could work this thing out, showed me ways in the spiritual, and then that was just so that my faith would increase. And when I realized that it had to be him speaking the word, his touch, that took me to another level. And so now I'm asking God to show me how to humble myself so that he'll be able to use me as a vessel like he did Peter and John going into the temple. And that means that I need more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't need to know what the world is doing. I don't need to know what Satan is doing. I can turn on CNN for that. I can look at MSNBC or Fox News. I can find that out. I can look outside and see what's going on. I want the news report from heaven that's saying that if you let your light shine and lift. I'm sorry, I got carried away.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right.
Excellent.
See, man, what you're doing. You are feeding my spirit, man. As you're talking, I'm visualizing myself in the area where I was told when I was trying to explain to you where I was at in the dark areas of the world. And this place where all these people are at that I don't know anything about. And it's a place of doom. Now, I am being prepared through your testimony to get up and go out there and handle this. Why? Because, no, listen to me, sir. Why? Because you have overcome. And I'm hearing this straight from God right now. Get up, Joe, and get out there and do what I told you to do here. Listen to this man who I have sent there to this darkness. And listen to what he's saying. All right, sir. I don't want to get carried away because I'm not no preacher. But I feel like preaching. And when I get there in the dark areas, when I get there to those dark areas, you know what? one of my entities in the business that I started is helping the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be doing a program here in Daytona, Florida. And it's going to be Adopt a Vet. It's going to be Adopt a Vet where I'm going to do a gospel concert event, a Power Forgiveness program, testimonies. And I'm going to have these veterans there who have been to these dark, dark places in their lives. But they're going to come there and they're going to have a hallelujah good time. I'm going to be able to have someone purchase a ticket, the business, the people who own businesses and companies and individuals, they're the ones who's going to purchase the ticket, and they're going to pay for the ticket, and then they're going to bring a vet with them who's going to be able to get in free. And they're going to be able to hear these testimonies. I want to come to Cleveland and do the same thing with you guys. Power of forgiveness. Yes. I'm about to do what God told me to do, promote like I never promoted before.
Amen.
Amen.
My God. My God, I really feel good. Now, at the beginning of this program, I was feeling all twisted and confused and don't know what to do or say. But now, after you took it in the direction where God wanted me to see. That
Amen.
It's coming straight from God. Which coming straight from God through you. Listen, man, you said your words were, you was taking man, you took man, and you gonna stand up and tell people anyway that you've been there. You ain't, and you don't take no more man. You're not using that anymore. And you gonna tell them anyway. I see. That's God. That
yes.
is God. That's the same. That's the same as that lady who was reaching out to touch his garment. That's the same feeling that she had. What you described to me about you, and where you are with God right now. And you've taken me there because you gave me a vision of what was taking place. Where I was at in this area where, and it's several times I've seen it, I've been there and don't know where it is. I know it's destruction. I know it's uncomfortable. And when I wake up, I cannot describe it. But, sir, now I know. I got to deal with the vet. Because a lot of them have been there, and they're there right now in that dark area of their lives. They are there right now, a lot of them. And I'm not trying to save them. The only thing I'm trying to do is to give them some joy. Oh, yeah. I want them to be able to feel the Spirit of God. In a real strong gospel concert event. Hallelujah. Okay. This is our
This
is our number one so far.
I wanted to allow time for our guest to say something. If he wanted to.
Okay. Well, I'll go right ahead, sir.
Enjoy the program. My name is Deacon Perkins, and I really enjoyed the program and got quite a bit out of it. And I can go forward and do what the Lord say to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So I'm so glad that you
thank you for joining us, my brother.
Yes, sir, Deacon. Pastor. Yes, sir. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
And I hope you join us again. Okay, that's great. That's great. I hope that you will because I really love your spirit, man. I really do. I really love your spirit.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Well, Pastor,
looks like we're almost out of time, huh?
Yeah, well, you can just pray us out, baby. Listen to this. Pray us out, baby.
All right.
I'm thinking I'm talking to one of my sons or something, you know. You know, put something in me tonight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, put
like
something
count.
In me. Hey, man. Oh, man, I feel like I'm the top of the world, man.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I mean, because that. Okay, go ahead now. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. Alrighty. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for your kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, who came at your request, but of his own will. Father, we thank you that you sent him into the world, that the world through him might be saved, and we thank you for salvation that comes through him. Father, we also thank you that he did not leave us without a comforter, but sent your Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would abide in us, that the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that made him faithful unto death, that made him shine and love when his enemies would stab him and kill him, that caused him to set the captives free, that caused him to give spirit of praise for a spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Father, we pray that you would give us that same spirit, that we may give beauty for ashes, and that our light may outshine the darkness of this world. And Father, that when you send your son Jesus back, we pray, Father, that he will find faith in us, find the light that he gave us, in us shining in a dark place. So, Lord, we ask your blessings upon each tonight. We pray that you will continue to bless Brother Cooper. Lord, bless him to promote the power of forgiveness like he's never promoted before. And, Lord, help. We pray Deacon Perkins, Lord,
yes,
to be strengthened in his body, that his body may reflect the spirit that you've given him. And that he may be lifted up so that his testimony will set others free.
Yes.
Father, we pray for Minister Wilson in their absence, Minister Love, Apostle Larry, Bishop Larry, Minister Maurice, Dr. Johnson, Minister Russell, Sister Francis, Sister Laverne. We pray, Father, that you would bless them and strengthen them. Some who are going through loss of family, some who are going through sickness, some who are going through struggles in relationship and with children. Father, we pray that there would be a spirit sent forth on their behalf now to let them know that greater are you in them than the one that will oppose them. Thank you, Father. Father, as we conclude this program tonight, we thank you for looking beyond our faults and our needs. And, Father, we pray that you would help us to look beyond the faults of those who are closest to us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And see their need and allow you to minister to their need through us if need be, but most of all through your Spirit, Lord. And, Father, we ask that you would give us hearts for souls, that we might continue to live out, speak out, and testify of your goodness and the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that souls that are looking for a lifeline, looking for a lifesaver, may find in our testimony and our witness Jesus, and that they too may hear him knocking at the door of their hearts and come in. Thank you, Lord, that they may open so that he may come in.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, grant us now as we go forth from this program your grace, your mercy, and your peace, that when we come back together again, we'll have a greater testimony of your goodness.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor and Deacon Perkins.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Thank you again for joining us, and it's a pleasure
really
to be with you and meeting you. Praise God. Praise God. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful evening and a tremendous weekend. And Happy New Year's to you.
Thank you. Thank you to you, sir.
We'll be talking in the next year. I will join you guys next year.
Okay.
Praise God.
Yes. Sir.
All right. All right. Y'all have a great evening now. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bless you. Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. Bye.